Our passage this morning, if you wish to follow along, is from Acts chapter 13, verses 26 through 43. Brothers, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us the message of this salvation has been sent. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the declarations of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. And though they found no grounds for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed. When they had carried out everything that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who are now witnesses to all of his people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to those of us who are the descendants by raising Jesus. As it is written in the second psalm, you are my son. Today I have fathered you. As for the fact that he has raised him from the dead, never again to return to decay, he has spoken in this way. I will give you the holy and faithful mercies of David. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. For David, after he had served God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep and was buried among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things, from which you could not be freed merely through the law of Moses. Therefore, see that the thing spoken of in the prophets does not come upon you. Look, you scoffers, and be astonished and perish. For I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people repeatedly begged to have these things spoken of to them the next Sabbath. And now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas and were speaking to them and urging them to continue in the grace of God.
Children, can you guess my name? I once saw the risen Jesus. I was traveling on the road to Damascus. Any children, that gives you a clue who I am? What's my name? Yeah, Paul. My name's Paul, and I want to tell you about a sermon I preached one day. This is the sermon that you can read about. You just heard about it in Acts chapter 13. But before I tell you about the sermon, it will help you if you can picture the relationship between King David of old and King Jesus later on. So, any children here who really like fire engines? I'm looking for firefighters here. We got one. So I want you to picture a little boy. And he really likes fire engines. If he sees those big red trucks and he has a little toy fire engine, he's got a fireman's hat that he wears, and he just loves this. And one day his mom takes a picture of him and she frames it. It's him with his fireman's hat and his little fire engine. And if you could picture it right here, she has it made into a, she's got the picture framed, and here it is. And it's the little boy with his fireman outfit. Can you picture that there, a little in the frame right there? All right. Now, this little boy grows up, And guess what? He gets some training, and when he becomes a man, guess what job this boy gets as his full-time job when he's a grown man? Yeah, he's a fireman. That's his job. And so if you could picture the photograph over there in a frame, and then the grown man as the firefighter here, you could look at the picture, and you could look at it and you say, ah, that picture is a hint. It's a clue. It gives a little sense of what would happen later on. Well, in the same way, in ancient Israel, there was a famous king. Who's the most famous king in the Old Testament, in ancient Israel? Most famous king is named David. Exactly right. So David, he's on his throne. He has a crown. David is a hint. David is a clue as to what later on Jesus would be like. And here's the really interesting thing. God promised to David of old, he said, David, when you die, your son will be king after you. And when he dies, David, your grandson will be king after you. And when he dies, his son will be after him. And David, that line will never end. Never end. Well, how could that be true? Well, that could be true because eventually the king that came from David's line was Jesus. And it's because of Jesus being eternal that the line could be eternal. So now, you guys got this in mind? Little boy, big firefighter, David, a clue, a hint about Jesus. Now you can understand the sermon. So in my sermon, I preached this sermon about 2,000 years ago in what today you guys call Turkey, in that country. That's where I was, a city called Antioch. I preached the sermon. I talked to them about three passages about David from the Old Testament. I talked to them about Psalm 2. I talked to them about Isaiah 55. And I talked to them about Psalm 16. One line from each. And I'm going to tell you again this morning, because some of you weren't there 2,000 years ago, I'm going to tell you a little bit about each of those lines from the Old Testament written like 3,000 years ago, but had all sorts of important things to say, both about David and about Jesus. You ready? Now, you need to put your thinking caps on, because we're going to talk about some things from the Bible and try to put them together. Children, thinking caps? Yeah? You ready? All right. Now, if you read the passage in Acts 13, it doesn't tell you how exactly I made reference to these Old Testament passages. And maybe I just memorized them and just spoke them. But I want you to use your imagination. And I want you to imagine that what I did, I was there in the synagogue in Antioch, and I want you to imagine that what I did when I referenced each of these passages is that I pulled from where they kept them the scrolls of the Old Testament, and I turned to each passage as we went along. By the way, the word scrolling meant something different in my day than what it means to you in your day. So, first of all, I turned to Psalm 2. Maybe some of the children can help me read this. Psalm 2. You guys want to take a look at this? Can you guys read this? No, a little hard. Yeah. So in Psalm 2, it says, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. You are my son. Today I have fathered you." And the question is, today? What day is today? The day that God fathered someone. And let me give you an illustration to help you understand this. Children, who can tell me what a plumber is? Who can tell me what a plumber is? Is it Nicholas? Is that, have your name right? Nico, go ahead. Who You got it. You got it. Water pipes. Any water pipes, anything to do with water pipes anywhere in your house, the plumber is the guy you call. So let's imagine a plumber, and his last name is Jones, and he has a really fancy van, like his work van, and on the side of it is painted Jones Plumbing. You guys picture the big work van? Really nice paint job, Jones Plumbing. Jones, Mr. Jones, has a little son, and this son is not going to grow up to be a fireman. No, this son is going to grow up to be a plumber because his dad teaches him how to be a plumber. And as he gets older and older, he's really good at it. And then there comes a special day. Let's say this boy now is 21 years old. And the father takes the van into the paint shop. And when it comes out of the paint shop, there's a whole new paint job on it. Guess what it says now on the side of the van? Now it says Jones and Son Plumbing, right? Because now the son is joining the family business. Now, the son has been his son all along, and he's actually been a good plumber for a while, but this is the moment, they probably, the day they get that van, they have a party, they have a special meal, they celebrate, and this is the day that it's known to the world. Now it's public, it's out there. Anyone can see that the little boy has grown up and is now a good plumber himself and has joined the father's business. So today, for them, was this day that they got the paint job there on the van. Now, in Psalm 2, it's actually talking about when King David became king. That's the today. So David, he's becoming king today. He sits on his throne. They put a crown on his head. And a word comes from God saying, "You are my son." This is God speaking to the king. "Today I have fathered you." Now, what it means is, this is the day that you, King David, are taking charge of the kingdom. Now you run things, but this isn't David's kingdom. It's God's kingdom. And so he's God's son in the sense that he's ruling over the kingdom for God. Okay? Now, when we think about the fact that David had a great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson named Jesus, the question is, because you see, Psalm 2 said that not only today are you my son, today I've begotten you, it also said you're going to rule over all the nations. And David never did that. And so we know that the full meaning of Psalm 2 has to do with Jesus, King Jesus. But then the question comes, what is the today for Jesus? What is the day, the today where God says, "You are my son, today I've begotten you"? Now, at one level, that was way back in eternity because the Son of God has always been the Son of God. But you might say, well, maybe it was when Jesus was born of Mary. Maybe that's the today when the Father would say, "You are my Son." But actually, what it's saying in Psalm 2 and in Acts 13 is the day that Jesus became the Son of God in one particular sense was the day he rose again from the dead. I wrote this in my letter to the Christians in Rome, Romans 1:4. I said that it's at the resurrection that he was declared, publicly shown, to be the Son of God with power. Right? He was always the Son of God, but this was the moment. Think of it this way. If you saw Jesus walking on the dusty streets of ancient Israel, you would say, "Just looks like an ordinary man." If you listened to his teaching, you'd say, "Oh, there's something special about him." If you saw him do a miracle, you'd say, "Oh, who is this man?" Any children remember what the transfiguration is? It's almost like Jesus had a disguise because he looked like a human being, but the transfiguration, Robert? Yeah. Yeah, so Jesus takes a few of his disciples up on the mountain, and he shines like the sun, and his clothes are, it's like, here's who I really am. But never did Jesus show what he was really like until the resurrection with power. And from then on, it's publicly declared that Jesus will rule over all the nations, and he begins to take that reign. He will not take that reign fully until he returns. But we begin to publicly see that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God in power at that moment of the resurrection. Now, the second passage that I turned them to was in Isaiah 53. Maybe Juliet can help us read Isaiah 53 this morning. Can you read any of that for us, Juliet? Or Mikey? Can you guys read this? So in Isaiah 55, I think I said 53, it's 55. Isaiah 55, verse 3. So Isaiah 55, all these wonderful promises, come and drink, come and buy without money. I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. And the key word here is the word sure. If you say to me, are you sure? Depends on what the topic is, but I might say, yes, I'm sure. I'm sure. It's guaranteed. It's trustworthy. It's absolutely true. And what this passage is talking about is the promise of all the blessings that will come to God's people through David. The blessing of God's people having a good king forever who will only do good. The blessings of the forgiveness of sins. The blessings of God's love and kindness and mercy and grace being richly poured out on his people. That's the promise. And you say, are you sure? That sounds too good to be true. And the passage is saying, yes, it's sure, but it's coming to you through David. So let's give an example of what that means, that it's coming through David. Children, let's imagine that I have a ginormous, ginormous Easter basket. And this Easter basket is full to the brim of all the most wonderful things. Whatever your parents would allow as being the most good and wonderful things. That's what's in this Easter basket. It's really great. And let's just say that I am not going to... And the Easter basket is meant for the neighborhood where you live. And let's say I am not going to go to every house or apartment and give the things in the Easter basket to all the children. Let's say that I'm going to give the things in the Easter basket to all the children through someone. Let's make up a name, a man in your neighborhood. Let's call him Walter, shall we? So I'm going to give the big, ginormous Easter basket to Walter, and Walter's going to distribute it to the neighborhood. But what I do first is I get out a big, fancy piece of paper, and I write in fancy language, and I write on it, I hereby promise that everything in this ginormous Easter basket is of the highest quality, and it will all be delivered by Walter, for sure, to all the children in Walter's neighborhood. And this will happen no matter what, and I guarantee it, and I give you my word. And I prick my finger, and I put a little blood on there, and I sign it, and I get a wax seal on it, and I have it, a picture of it posted in the newspaper. Everyone knows this is going to happen. Right? Well, that's the way the promises are, that all the promises coming to God's people, except they come through David to God's people. But David died. Isn't that a problem? It's not a problem. Why? Because David is what? David is a hint. He's a clue. The promises actually come through Jesus. Now, what about this? What if our friend Walter, the man in your neighborhood, what if 3 days before Easter, when he's supposed to deliver the ginormous Easter basket, what if 3 days before Easter something terrible happens and Walter dies? What now? There's only one way this could... Remember the piece of paper and everything? There's only one way this can all come about. What is it? Walter has to rise again from the dead. So Jesus dies. What about all these promises of the forgiveness of sins, a ruler forever? What happens to those sure promises if Jesus is on a cross and then Jesus is laid in a tomb? What about those promises? There's only one solution. Jesus must rise from the dead so that God can keep his promises. And that's how Isaiah 55 fits into this story. Now, I then turned to Psalm 16. And maybe some of you could help us read Psalm 16. Charlie, what do you think? So in Psalm 16, David is talking about how much he trusts the Lord and how the Lord is present with him and how the Lord is working in his life. And then he says, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption." And the key phrase here is Holy One, because the question comes, who is the Holy One? When you read the psalm, it seems upon first reading that it's saying, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption." It seems like it's saying that David, if he dies, at least his body won't rot away and turn back into dirt. Children, you understand, right? If someone dies, if a person dies, their blood stops flowing through their body, right? Their brain isn't working. You touch them, they don't feel it. After a little while, their whole body gets cold because there's no life flowing in and out of their body. And so what we do is we put their body in the grave, in the ground, and it takes a slow, long process. But eventually, their physical body turns back into dirt. And David is saying in the psalm, that's not going to happen to me. Except it did happen to David. He did die, and his body did turn back into dirt. Do we have a problem here? Well, you have to remember what? David was a hint. David was a clue about Jesus. And so Psalm 16 is actually talking about Jesus. Did Jesus die? Did they put him in a tomb? But did his body turn back to dirt? No. God didn't let him experience corruption because God raised him from the dead. And it's partly we know this is all fits together because only God is holy. Holy means separate from sin, separate from everything that's common on this earth. And Jesus was the Holy One who came down from God's holy dwelling to be a holy person among us. Now, it is also true that David would eventually rise from the dead, but only in Jesus, only because Jesus led the way and showed what resurrection could be like. And eventually, all of Jesus' followers, Old Testament and New, ourselves included if we're followers of Jesus, will rise again, and we ultimately will not forever see corruption, but we'll have new resurrection bodies forever because of Jesus. But he is the first one to rise from the dead. And so we see that this was promised of old, thousands of years ago, that Jesus would rise from the dead. I'd like to look each of you in the eyes and say to you, what's being proclaimed here through David and about the resurrection of Jesus is saying that only through Jesus, can all the promises of the Bible come to you. Only through Jesus is there forgiveness of sins. It's Jesus alone who is the fulfillment of the hint. It's only Jesus who is the King that reigns forever. And the question for each of us is, will we come under Jesus' reign? Will we say, yes, I want to be a citizen of Jesus' reign? Because he will come again, and he will defeat all powers that are opposed to him, and all that will be left in his kingdom is those who are his loyal citizens. And some of you here this morning are followers of Jesus, and others of you here this morning are not followers of Jesus. And I understand that there's nuances in that, because some of you are your followers of Jesus, but you're aware that there are ways in which there are things in your life that you really ought to let go of and surrender to Jesus so that he might more fully be your king. And I understand that some of you don't believe in Jesus, but you would say, I think I'm on my way. Right? So there's nuances in both sides, but still the question is, which side are you on? Are you a follower of King Jesus or are you not? And I say to you, if you're a follower of Jesus, but you would say to me, there are ways in which I could be a more devoted follower, I'd say, go for it, because he's the one that rose from the dead. There's no one like him. He's proven himself to be the king and the coming king by his resurrection. And so let's more fully devote ourselves to him. And if you would say, I'm not a follower of Jesus, I say, why not today be the day that you cross the line? Because to whom else will you go for the forgiveness of your sins? He's made this known to you publicly, who he is and why he came and how it is that you can be one of his loyal citizens and have the blessings of the forgiveness of sins be richly experienced by you in the entirety of your life. Let's pray. God in heaven, we're so grateful for this special day to remember the resurrection of Jesus. And we ask that you would help each of us to be completely yielded to Jesus as our Lord and as our King. Work in our hearts, we pray. Show us the things we need to see. Lead us in the ways we need to go. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.